Talk radio just got a little cooler.
Chad Benson.
Chad Benson.
The Chad Benson Show.
Again, I think it's a disgrace that information would be let out. It's all fake news. It's phony stuff. It didn't happen. It was a group of opponents that got together, sick people, and they put that crap together.
That's a bunch of crap! You know, you won't often hear that from a president-elect, a president, or anybody else in higher office. That's a bunch of crap! Oh, that was hilarious. I watched it today. It was interesting. I'm not going to lie to you. I thought at times it was as much a roast. It was a very interesting situation watching the whole thing break down. Of course, last night we got the news, and it was coming through from the New York Times and CNN. I guess BuzzFeed first had the story. And first, let me explain something. Politics is politics, right? Everybody's destroying John McCain. They're killing John McCain. McCain's horrible. He's evil. He had this information and blah, blah, blah. He didn't leak the information. He got the information from what I understand and what I have seen and heard and from what people that I know are telling me from a British ambassador who then gave – he looked at the information. He couldn't ascertain whether or not it was fake or not. He then handed it off to James Comey, and it went from there. And this was a long time ago. How the information got out from here, I do not know. But politics are being played inside of the intelligence community. I think that's very true, but this whole thing that happened, CNN's got egg on their face. This has been a day that I think they're trying to climb out of, and right now that's why they're hyper-focusing on the Tillerson thing that's going on. They just finished up grilling Tillerson. By the way, I watched the Tillerson thing. We've got some cuts. We'll probably play them a little bit later. Very impressed with the man. Far more than I think than I thought I was going to be. You know, a lot of people thought that, you know, here's this guy. Who is this guy? CEO of Exxon. He's got a lot of dealings. He understands the world politically as well as business-like. He understands the geopolitics of a nation in a lot of ways. He said some stuff that I was extremely impressed with. Rubio's unsure, but again, this is, you know, and Rubio did say something I fully agree with, that this, it, to me, is the second most important job in government, is being Secretary of State, especially in these times. And, but he, you know, Rubio is he's that actor who slows down a scene and uses his eyes to move across, you know, turns his head, then moves his eyes because he wants the camera to focus on him more. He's going to vote for him. He is. He's not going to abstain. And if he does, it's only because he knows a Democrat or two or three is going to vote for him. So he knows that that vote isn't going to matter. Back to Trump, though. Interesting today. It was, we got a snapshot of what it's going to be like for the foreseeable future for CNN, but I also think for journalists. Journalists, it is a love-hate relationship, right? The love-hate relationship is this. He is going to give you soundbite after soundbite. He is going to keep people interested. He is going to get people talking. He's going to help with your viewership. He's going to help with your clicks and all that stuff and your likes and whatnot. He is going to be a pain in your ass, and he's going to call you on your BS as he sees it, whether it's your fault or not and whether it's true or not. In some ways, it may not be true. In other ways, it may absolutely be true, and you're getting what you get. Case in point today, CNN, who was all over this last night, and we said, like, I didn't know if it was real or not. This is what we were hearing. But we didn't know if it was real. We said that. I don't know if it's real. And even if it is, who cares? Doesn't matter at this point in time. But he went after CNN, and it was, first and foremost, it was hilarious. Because the CNN guy was trying his damnedest to ask a question, and Trump wasn't having any of it.
Your organization's terrible. Let's go. Go ahead. Quiet. Quiet. Go ahead. She's asking a question. Don't be rude. Don't be rude. No, I'm not going to give you a question. I'm not going to give you a question. You are fake news.
absolute hilarity. I loved it. You know, every once in a while, even though I'm part of this, and you know what? You get called out for stuff. You deserve... Look, there's nothing in life that's more humbling than being called on the floor for your BS. Right? We've all done it. I've screwed up in the past. I've made mistakes. Some of them have been, you know, big mistakes. Other mistakes have been small mistakes. Some of them were I didn't know the whole story. And some of you know, we've all been. But being called out for some of this stuff, it's not a bad thing, right? It's not a bad thing. And this is what Trump understands when it comes to the people that voted for him. The people that voted for him don't believe the media gives a fair shake. They believe the media was in the bag for the likes of Hillary. They held Trump's feet to the fire when it came, you know, it was great when it was the Republicans. They ate it up, but once it became Hillary, they were all over Trump, and they held his feet to the fire for everything. And they felt they, you know, they gave way too many passes to Hillary and didn't do their job as far as journalists. And he called them on the crap, the fake news, the whole nine yards. I have zero problems with that. Every once in a while. You know what? Every day I get 3, 4, 5, 15, 25, God knows how many text message emails telling me how much, you know, you need to do this. You didn't do that right. You say, look, we're humans. And sometimes there's a difference between knowingly having an understanding that this probably isn't real, but we're going to print it anyways. And then not having the full facts. I think CNN kind of knew. I think the New York Times kind of knew, although they didn't go full in. I think several other outlets did. But that's because the want, first of all, the want to be first. Secondly, and very importantly, the want to be first to try to start taking Trump down a notch or two. I didn't say what he did, although it was trending, is what they said he did allegedly, which it didn't happen. I did not say it. But he, in this next cut, is hilarious in kind of clearing up something in a very offhanded way that even gets some of the press people laughing.
I was in Russia years ago with the Miss Universe contest, which did very well. Moscow, the Moscow area, did very, very well. And I told many people, be careful, because you don't want to see yourself on television. Cameras all over the place. And again, not just Russia, all over. Does anyone really believe that story? I'm also very much of a germaphobe, by the way. Believe me.
I like that. Just an offhand thing, you know, essentially what was being said that happened, which did not happen. You will get that if you know exactly what people are talking about. But it was a... You know, it is what it is. This is the world that we live in now. It is divisive at times. It is horrible at times. It is hilarious at times. Trump is coming into this White House with, and I think the country feels a renewed vigor right now. And I think the country feels that there is a sense of optimism, a sense of moving forward. Also a sense that we're getting back to some normalcy and that the lunatics and the kooks and the crazies and the snowflakes and the PC people aren't going to be running everything, and that we're going to have somebody in there who I, quite frankly, again, I don't know how good he is or isn't. I don't know how good he is or isn't as far as being a president, and neither do you because you've never seen him as president. None of us have. What I do know is he's going to do things different. He's going to hold feet to the fire for everybody, which may or may not be a good thing. He is going to cause some issues that don't need to be caused, which will be a bad thing. He's also going to enlighten us and I think in many different ways, change the way that things happen inside this White House and potentially long-term what takes place in Washington. You know what? For all of the laughter, for all of those things, there were so many things he said today that I found intriguing. One of the things was, The pharmaceutical thing, and I'll just touch on this. This'll be the last thing I touch on Trump for a while, but the pharmaceutical thing to me was very interesting. And he was talking about the prices of pharmaceuticals. He says, you know, everywhere else in the world, they negotiate with these companies for good deals. We don't. That's going to change. People on the left who've been screaming for years about this, this is what you should be happy about. He may be damn well serious that they're going to negotiate good deals, which is going to save us all money, which is going to give us all an opportunity to what? To get stuff cheaper. So we don't have the Mylan situations and the Scarellis of the world holding us hostage. Isn't that what you want? But you forgo that because everybody else wants to know, why haven't you released your tax returns? By the way, he did come with a prop today. He came with giant stacks of papers that apparently were some of his financial details, of which all of us little brains were too small to understand. But he wanted to bring his attorney out there and show them, hey, this is the giant, this is only a portion of my big brain stuff. Your little brains don't understand this. You wouldn't understand my tax returns. You wouldn't get my tax returns. Even if I handed to you, couldn't find out any information you think you're going to find in my tax returns. You got a point there. By the way, I still don't care about his tax returns. I just want to let you know that. People are still harping on that. Stop it. It's over. Get over it. Move on with our lives. The Chad Benson Show, Facebook, at Chad Benson Show, Twitter, ChadBenson, Chad at ChadBensonShow.com. You can text the show 323-538-2423, 323-538-2423. I'm going to get to Obama's speech last night. I'm going to give you an assessment of it, a very fair assessment. I have a long talk today with somebody who's from Canada. We had lunch together. She gave me I gave her my perspective. She gave me her perspective on Obama. We had a very interesting conversation about that. I also want to talk about Krispy Kreme. Man, wait to hear this great story about Krispy Kreme and tipping. But straight ahead on the Chad Benson Show.
Blah, 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 blah. He's Chad Benson.
Cops! The popo! Police! What else do they call the police? The fuzz? That's one. Pigs? If you want to go, if you want to get nasty, call them that. 5-0? Law enforcement? New study, poll was done, and this is very interesting. It was 8,000 officers. This is when you get honesty, because it is a poll that is essentially a blind poll and a blind questionnaire done by officers, where their results, you don't know who they are. It's all, you know, it's all anonymous. And they feel, according to Pew Research, that, their life is harder today and their job is harder today. 86% of the cops feel that way. Because of high-profile cases in which cops killed black citizens. Understandable. Realize that. Yes, of course. Law enforcement. Look, what's taken place over the last 18 months, 24 months, that wasn't the first thing to happen, right? That wasn't. But they feel, because of the Black Lives Matter movement, that their life is extremely hard and far more dangerous. Very much so, they believe it's far more dangerous. 68% believe that demonstrations are motivated by anti-police bias, the report says. 72% said they're more reluctant to stop and question people who seem suspicious. And 9 out of 10 officers are more concerned about their safety in the era of Black Lives Matter. Look, the job side of it, of stopping and doing your job, understand that in this day and age of cell phones everywhere, of cameras everywhere, of everybody more concerned about getting the right shot, and I'm not talking about a gun, but with their phone, than getting the, you know, getting 911 on the phone for stuff. Boom. You know why it's this way? It's social media. And remember, 99 times out of 100, we only get the part where the bad thing happens or the thing that we perceive to be bad. And with perception being reality in the world that we live in, that's all you need. That's it. You don't need anything else. You don't need a damn thing else. It's sad but true. Look, we can't have our police afraid to do their job for fear of what they may look like on camera. Where was it last year? Was it Houston where that cop took a beating because he thought, I don't want to do something to this guy who was running out of a convenience store for fear that if I do something, that it's going to end up on the nightly news and then we're going to be bombarded with hate and I'm going to be drugged through the mud. We cannot have our police officers operating that way. Are there bad officers? Absolutely. There's bad everything in the world. Hate to tell you guys this, there's bad everything. Are some officers driven by race or bias? Yes. But it's a small, small few. And if you look at the numbers of how many times police officers come in contact with individuals and how many times things like Michael Brown or some of these other things that take place happen, it's so small. In the case of Michael Brown, though, the narrative was painted and it was a lie, but all it needs to do is become that lie, hit social media, and people will believe it. And that's all that they need. Any facts you show them will not change those things. Police officers cannot operate in a world where they fear not the person may shoot them with a gun, but the person may shoot them with a camera, which will in turn cause their life to be a living hell. We can't have that. We can't have officers second guessing. And you know what? I look at this and I'm surprised the numbers aren't even more skewed when it comes to we worry about doing our jobs because of the social pressures and the media and how we'll look. My God, that's insane. That is insane. But remember, perception is reality. And even if you tell that lie long enough, what happens? It becomes the reality the most. And while all of this is going on, just remember, you don't get that back. Because people will always believe that lie, even presented with facts. Doesn't matter. I don't blame them. I don't. I understand. I don't blame him. Obama said goodbye to America last night. Let's sum it up, shall we? Chad Benson Show.
The Chad Benson Show. Talk radio just got a little cooler.
Chad Benson.
Chad Benson.
The Chad Benson Show.
I can't do that.
Yeah, wow, that's 4 more years. Those are human beings who are supposed to understand the political process, who Anthony said it best this morning. We're sitting there and we're listening to this whole thing in the 4 more years. Those people are fanatics. They are. It is a cult of personality. It is almost a religious like figure. They are sold for the cause, which is President Obama. At that point in time, that dude could do anything he wants to those people and they will drink the Kool-Aid. Drank the Kool-Aid. President Obama gave a speech last night, and I thought it was a good speech. I did. I'm not going to lie to you. I thought President Obama delivered a good speech. It was, first of all, I think it was his most human speech he's given in the 8 years as president. I do. I think there was emotion there. He wrote the speech himself. It was extremely interesting to hear the way he delivered things. I said, you know, to a couple of my friends, I think what I saw there was some humanity and you know, not so much some humble. I mean, he talked about himself a lot, but you know what? That's what he was there to do, right? He was putting a bow on his presidency. The present that he left for people, they may not like, they may lie. Time will tell, and we'll get to that in a second. But I did think he said some stuff last night that I found to be very, very true, very interesting, very interesting. He believes that we can change, is one of the things he says, but got to come together.
When ordinary people get involved and they get engaged and they come
together to demand it. After 8 years as your president, I still believe that.
Yeah, ordinary people can do things. And that's what people saw in this election. A guy ascend out of nowhere that everybody thought was a laughing stock and a joke, that he didn't even give himself much creed and credence along the way. And yet people, you know, bought into what he was saying, and away he went. Ordinary people can do stuff. We do have to come together. He spoke a lot about that last night. One of the things I was very impressed with when he talked about experiences, putting yourself in other people's shoes. If you listen to the show for any length of time, you know that I try to look at every angle of everything, because I think until you can be in somebody else's shoes or situation as best as possible, because everybody's life experiences are unique to themselves, but until you can get into that situation as best as you can, you cannot understand what somebody is going through, what somebody else sees. That's why we say experiences will give you that in life. Experiences will make you change your outlook on certain things because you've been through it. And he even talked about, you know, for African Americans, for black people out there, for people of color, to put yourself in the shoes of somebody who's in the white working class who's struggling as well. And I thought that was very real. I thought that was very honest. Continue with some more, Mr. President.
In 10 days, the world will witness a hallmark of our democracy. No. The peaceful transfer of power from one freely elected president to the next.
That, I like the way he said, no. He's trying to show people that this is the things that are happening. We're doing this. Don't boo. It's happening. I've heard a lot of my counterparts and read stuff today, you know, where they take the headline where he said, you know, the Constitution's just, you know, parchment paper. And say, again, you take a clip and you run with it. And what he said was very apropos, because it is just a piece of paper that has ideas and ideals of who we are. And it's that roadmap to success that has built this country. But it is a piece of paper and it's living and breathing. And we are the ones who kind of are all a piece of that kind of, you know, that piece of paper. And again, I thought he gave a very eloquent speech. I thought he showed a lot of emotion. But then it got to the point where he started talking about bringing us together. And I agree. I think we need to be more open and honest with each other in how we feel, but do it in a way where we're trying to tell you, I'm telling you how I feel. You tell me how you feel. Tell me why you feel this way. I'll tell you why I feel that way. Let's see if we can come together. Continue.
We all have to try harder. We all have to start with the premise that each of our fellow citizens loves this country just as much as we do, that they value hard work and family just like we do.
Ooh, wait. Somebody else who doesn't have my belief can love this country? Yes, absolutely. Don't buy into the rhetoric and lunacy you hear on a bunch of, you know, talking heads that are all about this, you know, having discord and anger and not finding solutions. Don't buy into that crap. And then telling each other they're all great Americans. Don't buy into the 24-hour news cycles and stuff. We all love this country deep down, I believe. Maybe an optimist. I'm a realist. Not everybody, but I believe a good majority of us love this country. Whether you're on the left side or whether you're on the right side, I think a good majority of us love this country. We may love it in a different way. We may love it for different things. But I think we all tend to hold this sacred thing that we have here, this American belief, in our hand. And it's different to everybody. It is. You know, a couple months ago, maybe it was last year, I don't know, pretty sure, maybe you remember this. You remember that thing going on the internet with the what color is this dress? And people say it was blue, and the other people say it was gray, and some people say it's orange or whatever. Remember that?
Yeah, I didn't get that at all.
It was still a dress, right? We all saw a dress. We just saw it in a different way. Didn't mean that we didn't see the dress. It's the same thing here. It doesn't mean we don't love our country just because, you know, you don't love the country the way that I love the country. No, that's wrong. And that's where this whole fight starts. Continue on, Mr. President.
And increasingly, we become so secure in our bubbles that we start accepting only information, whether it's true or not, that fits our opinions, instead of basing our opinions on the evidence that is out there.
Bam. You have no idea how true that is. Case in point, this whole thing with Donald Trump that's going on and the lies and all that kind of stuff. There are still people out there that are continuing to push this as if this is a real thing because they believe it. We played that lady last night, that phone call from the lady who believed that he was going to institute martial law and that he was going to take over the government, you know, President Barack Obama. Another one of those things where you sit there and you just shake your head because people are so stuck in a bubble. Their belief system, they have shrunken to the point that their belief system now they've cocooned themselves in their belief system, and they've only allowed certain things to get in, and that's it. We got to get out of that. We have to get out of that. You know, look, am I educated? I the school of hard knocks. You know, my education came from travel. As a child, and even to my younger adult years, understanding and seeing different aspects of how people live and what they go through on a day-to-day basis. Growing up, having no money. And then my family doing semi-okay, but much later in my life where I didn't really appreciate it and I didn't get it and I didn't have the you know, because I was out on my own, you know? Experiences. You got to get out of a bubble in your life. So many people are terrified to have somebody else have a different opinion than them. It's insane. It is absolutely insane. And I think he summed it up extremely well in this last cut we're going to play.
If you're tired of arguing with strangers on the internet, try talking with one of them in real life.
Boom. How many people have you unfriended or have unfriended you? How many people you've gone out to dinner with and they've attacked you because your viewpoint was different, especially in this political season? How many people out there have called you a name because you voted for Donald Trump? How many people have done that? Or because you didn't think that Barack Obama was a bad guy? How many people? Too many. It's a simple conversation. We don't have it anymore. Not in this country. And that's a sad sign of where we're headed. And we need to get on it. I thought he delivered a good speech last night. Dare I say the best speech I've seen him deliver in a long time. It was interesting to see it. And it's interesting, too, to watch this because, remember, he's got to defend his legacy. I went out to lunch with somebody today and somebody said to me, what do you think his legacy is going to be when my son, Jack, is going to be, you know, when he's 18. And I said, let me tell you something. First and foremost, let's not take away the historic fact that he was the first African-American president. And as I've said over and over again, history, not now, will write your legacy. And also what the next president does will have some bearing on that. If Donald Trump fails, I think people will shine a brighter light on Obama's presidency in some ways. If Donald Trump is the new Reagan, and we have massive, massive, massive economic boom, I think there will be a struggle there. If Iran gets a bomb, that's going to go down on him. There's a lot of things that potentially could go right and wrong. I think history will be kind to him. But I think when we take a step back, we'll look and say, you know what? He was a decent president. He failed at some stuff. He tried to succeed at others. I don't think he was the worst president of all time. I think Jimmy Carter holds that distinction, at least in modern times. I think that he was the first president that we've had that has truly been an ideologue in a lot of ways, who had a belief system that we had not seen. He was first and foremost a progressive, But I do not think he was a bad man. And I do not think he has a disdain for this country. And I never thought he wanted to make us a communist country. I think he had ideas that he wanted to get out to the world, to get out to America. And many of those came from books. And those books, well, as you know, man, they're not worth anything. Those ideas don't work when human beings get involved. Because they'll throw that monkey wrench in there, right? They'll throw that wrench. Whoops, boom. Uh-oh, what happened? Sorry. Didn't work that way. But I think there's a lot that will go into writing his legacy. But I'm not one of these guys that's going to come out and say he was the worst president of all time. Because I do not buy that for a second. I may not agree with his political stance on a lot of stuff. But, you know, he was not the worst president ever. Don't believe the crap you hear. Yeah, it's okay to have political discord. Yeah, it's okay to understand that maybe he did some things that we all scratch our heads at. But too much crap, too much yelling, too much screaming. Just like the people they're doing out there on the left who believe that Trump is all of the things that they think he is and then some. Don't believe that hype and lie either. The Chad Benson Show, Facebook, at Chad Benson Show, Twitter, ChadBenson, Chad at ChadBensonShow.com. You can text this show, 323-538-2423, 323-538-2423, simple and easy. Also call us, 844-DIG-CHAD, 844-344-2423. It's the Chad Benson Show.
Now, let's get this party started.
Obviously.
I feel exactly the same way, but the opposite.
This is the Chad Benson Show.
I don't know if you guys have seen it. If you want to Google the worst thing you'll see on the internet today, Joseph Fiennes apparently is going to play Michael Jackson. And it is so awful that I can't even... First of all, I think it's a fitting thing because I think Michael Jackson was a horrible human being. But Chad, he was never convicted of it. Shut up. Horrible. But, like, it almost looks like he is putting on a Michael Jackson mask or a face that, like, who thought this was a good idea? Who said, you know what? Who should play Michael Jackson? Ralph Fiennes? No. Joseph Fiennes. That's the one. We'll get him. He looks just like him. It is so bad that words do not describe how horrible it is. It is just the worst. People always say, like, why do, like, you ever notice, like, and I'm sure it's really weird. You go on, like, Netflix. And you'll flip through and you'll see like three major stars in a movie. And you think to yourself, I've never heard of this movie. I have never in my life would think that these three major stars would be in something like this. How does it happen? It's money. You got 6 weeks. I got $5 million for you. This guy's got all this money and a script he wants made, but he's only going to put the money out there if there's a star or two attached. And they jump on and they do it. I watched a movie last week called The Prince, and it had John Cusack, it had Bruce Willis, it had the dude from The Lost Boys, the good-looking dude, not Kiefer Sutherland, but the other guy. And I'm thinking, all these stars are in this. I've never once heard of this movie. Never once. I was slipping through last night. I saw a movie with Natalie Portman in. Never heard of it in my life. Like, I not only have I never heard of it, it was never released anywhere. I don't know. That's how they get it made, though. People, you know what? They know somebody who knows somebody. It's a kid's first project. You're going to make this movie. Okay. You know, Scorsese's got, my grandson wants to make a movie. Here, do it. Okay. I'll put you one of my ones in the future. But this, I don't know how this got made. It looks disturbing. It looks like the makeup's come, like the mask thing is coming off him. It looks like a horror movie. You know what it reminds me of? Do you remember the movie House of Wax? Right? The one with Paris Hilton, too. Doesn't matter which one it is. Vincent Price or Paris Hilton. Either one. But, like the guy that was burned so bad and he had the wax face, that's what it looks like. It looks like the wax face. And, by the way, I don't know what color he is, but Michael was none of these colors. Because we all know that towards Michael's end, he started to change colors. He wasn't either of these colors. Man, this is horrible. And it's getting made. Is it going to have a big release? Oh, my goodness. Just absolutely horrible. I wouldn't even know. I mean, he looks like a serial killer. That's the best way to describe him. The Chad Benson Show, Facebook, at Chad Benson Show, Twitter, ChadBenson, Chad at ChadBensonShow.com. You can text us, 323-538-2423, 323-538-2423. People texting me now, Chad, you're so wrong about Obama. He's the worst president ever. Okay. They got shows for you. It ain't this one, kids. It isn't. You can email the show, Chad at ChadBensonShow.com. Check out ChadBensonShow.com. We got your podcast. You can tune in radio app. You can grab it from iTunes. If you miss it and you love it and you want to hear it more, I'd appreciate that. It's the Chad Benson Show.
The Chad Benson Show.